All right, well, let's get into the message. Turn over to the book of 2 John. 2 John. When Pastor told me he was probably going to be heading to New Guinea, he told me to be ready to preach. I'm like, okay, that's great. And then when he finally got the dates narrowed down, I was still good. And then all of a sudden I realized that one of the Sundays he was gone was Mother's Day. He's going to want me to preach. Well, I don't have a Mother's Day message. Never have had one. Never really needed had a need to have one. So that threw me in a little bit of a panic state. So I asked Sarah if I could just cop out and just do a passage out of 1 Samuel there on Hannah, and she told me I couldn't, so I had to come up with one. So, book of 2 John. It says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink. But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." Let's go ahead and pray for this sermon. Lord, I pray that you be with this message. I pray that you fill me with your Spirit. Lord, control what I say and how I say it. Lord, I pray that your word just have an effect on the hearts of those in here. Lord, that we all prepare our hearts to receive the truth found in your word. And I pray for those, maybe there's some in here that have never accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, that today be the day. Lord, what a gift it would be to a mother, or what a gift for a mother to receive your free gift of salvation. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, the book of 2 John, obviously it's one of the smaller ones in the Bible, only one chapter. If you found a second chapter in there, you can come up and tell me about it later. But just one chapter. It's a private letter. It's a private epistle. John was writing this to a specific woman, as we see, to the elect lady and her children. In this epistle, he commends her for all the good that she's done, for her life, for her children. It seems to be like this mother is exemplary of what a mother should be. There are no rebukes. There are no admonishments to her about something, area that she's lacking in. It's all compliments, and then at the end there's a warning to of some dangers to look out for that was going on at that time. But from this letter, I believe we can see some aspects of motherhood that are very important. We're going to break it down into two main points. So that's a mother's responsibility and a mother's reward. Mother's responsibility and a mother's reward. And, of course, there'll be a few sub-points to go along with that. So we'll go ahead and jump right into a mother's responsibility. Again, I mentioned it before. A lot of times us men do not know really half of what the mother does. Anytime I start getting a little upset about something possible that Sarah's done, I stop and think. I'm like, well, she does this, and I do this. And it kind of helps keep things in perspective about maybe I should start getting my eyes off myself and really get a good focus on everything. But a mother's responsibility, a mother's devotion to the responsibilities that God has given her, and we're going to be looking at God-given responsibilities here, her devotion to that is a true indication of how Christian the home is. The mother oftentimes has such an impact on the home. And a mother who has shirks those responsibilities really hinders the home from being a God-honoring home. And so we're going to go ahead and look at some of these responsibilities. Verse number 4 there in 2 John. John writing, basically commending her, says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father." We see a mother's responsibility is to instruct her children in truth, that they would walk in truth. Very, very key responsibility for a mother. This is important, obviously, for both parents. Mother and father should both be involved in instructing their children in the way that they should go. Deuteronomy chapter 6 covers that, where it says that you should teach the commandments of the Lord diligently to your children. And it doesn't specifically single out a mother or a father in that. But it was the parents need to diligently teach their children the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But the mother is generally the one who spends the most time with the children. And so therefore, a lot of that burden will fall on her. It is extremely important for the mother to instruct her children in truth. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Proverbs all throughout the sermon. Proverbs chapter 1. To be able to properly instruct children, there must be rules for those children to follow. There's going to be some rules in place. Proverbs 1, verse number 8. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." The mother had a law in place, had some rules in place that she had for her children. And here, of course, Solomon is instructing his son to forsake it not. Don't turn away from it. Keep to the law that the mother had given. Keep to the rules that she had given. I meant to do this real quick before the service. I didn't get a chance to. I'm not aware of a passage of Scripture where it says the law of thy father. It says commandments of thy father. We see instruction of thy father. But it seems to keep the law to the mother. And again, I may be wrong. There may be a portion. I'm just not aware of it. But the law of the mother. And this is, it's very important for your mothers to have the law. You're going to be the ones dealing with the kids most of the time. And of course, for a law, there has to be penalties for breaking the law. Just as there should be some rewards for keeping the law. But there must be a law in place. If you are going to instruct your children in truth, in God's Word, there has to be a law in place. And it specifically seems to be the mother to be able to put the law down. Forsake not the law of your mother. Proverbs was given to us. The book of Proverbs was given to us as an instruction for life. To be able to give wisdom. It lists there in Proverbs 1, the first few verses there, basically says the purpose of it. And it says in verse number 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The purpose of Proverbs, to give wisdom, to give knowledge and discretion. And part of that is the law of the mother. When the mother has a good law in place, her children will gain wisdom and instruction from that. Again, it's a very key thing in a home. The best thing a mother can do for her children is not to load them up with material possessions or to give them whatever they want. It's to have a law in place that they need to follow. Many people these days, they just give the kids whatever they want, but they fail to teach their kids that when the kids reach adulthood, there's going to be some laws that those kids have to follow. It's all part of preparing your children for adulthood, and that they have to be able to follow instructions, to follow a law, and to know that there are consequences for your actions, whether good or evil. The mother must have a law in place. We see this. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 20. It says, "My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Again, we see the same thing. The father has the commandments. He's telling them what to do, but the mother has the law. Forsake not the law of thy mother. That includes as you grow older and you get out of the home, Don't forsake the law of your mother. I mean, there may be some things that she had area specific to her home. But as a general rule, don't forsake the law of your mother. Honor your mother. That's one of the commandments here given in Proverbs. And we see that as a mother, it's good to have those laws in place. Well, why? Let's look down in verse number 23 there. Proverbs 6:23. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And then it goes on, verse 24 says, "To keep thee from the evil woman." And it gives the reason for this. "But the commandment of the father is a lamp, and the law of the mother is a light." It gives light to the children, so it gives them illumination, so they can know what to do in their life, to know the right way to take, and that comes from the law of the mother. One of the mother's biggest responsibilities is to instruct her children in truth, and to have that law in place. I remember when I was young, of course, being the youngest, I was loved very much by my two older brothers. I'm very endeared to them. They came up with sweet little names for me, like Brat, and just for things like that. And then my mom had a law in place of she didn't like us calling each other names. So my oldest brother, Matt, as some of you know, he's sneakier than most of you guys think, just letting you know. He was the sneaky one. So he decided he was just going to start calling me Tarb, which if you're an English major, you realize that Tarb is Brat spelled backwards. So he's trying to get around it. And so Mom, I don't know if she realized it immediately, but it seemed like it took a little bit before she finally caught on to that. And then they started calling me TRB and BRAT and spelling it out versus actually saying it. But Mom had some rules in place. And the kids will try to get around those rules, that law. And it's very important for that mother to stay on top of it and to enforce the law. Unless the law is enforced, it has no effect on the people who it's supposed to be for. You think about immigration. There are laws in place right now in this country against illegal immigration, but the Obama administration would fail to enforce those laws, and so those laws were basically useless. If you do not enforce the law that you have placed in your home, the law will be useless. You must enforce it. And again, it's to help your children out, to give them illumination on how to live their life. So that's the first thing. A mother should instruct her children in truth. Let's turn back to 2 John. Look at the second point here. Second responsibility of a mother. Verses 5 and 6. 2 John 5 and 6. It says, "Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." A second responsibility of a mother, of a godly mother, is she must be a good example. She must be a godly example for her children to follow. We see here that he specifically addresses that passage to the woman. The entire book is written to the lady and her children, and these few verses right here is addressed to the lady. I beseech the lady, and that basically that she would walk after the commandments of God. And if you study the book there, we know that she did. She had a reputation for that, but she was a godly mother. But a mother's responsibility, one of them, is to be a godly example for her children to follow. It's very important to teach your kids the right things to do, to have that law in place and to enforce that law. But if you do not have a godly example following your own laws, what do you think your children are going to do? When you tell them to do one thing and you live another, do as I say, not as I do, that's not an effective way of raising children. I hear many, many times about how parents will send their kids to church. We have that with the bus kids. We see kids coming into church, and then as they start getting older, and especially into the teen years, we lose them. Why? Well, of course, the influences that we are dealing with, we have them for 2 to 3 hours a week. The world has them for the rest. But also, the parents want them to be in church. They're sending them to church. They know that church is a good thing, but they will not do it themselves. And so when the kids look at that, they're like, well, why should I go to church when my parents don't? When your life is opposite of what you are teaching your children, you can basically guarantee that they will follow your life and not your words. they will always, the parents, the kids will almost always follow how their parents act, not as their parents command. I thank God for my parents, my mother and my father. Both of them back up what they commanded. Both their lives. My dad always was stressed faithfulness. If you're supposed to be in a certain place, you need to be there. He's a great example of that. My mother with prayer, and I just think of many times I've seen my mom praying and reading her Bible. And she was always trying to get us to, you know, get with God alone. She was a great example to follow. And so that's part of the reason I am the very little that I am today is because of my mother. Because of the godly example she set up that backed up the law that she had in place. Woman should be a godly example for her children to follow. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to be reading a few verses out of here, especially as we go through the message. Proverbs 31. It's much more likely for your children to follow what you are doing than what you are saying. Proverbs 31, verse 26. See the godly example of a woman. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Of course, a lot of that chapter is a great example of what a mother should be, a virtuous woman. But I'm looking here especially, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. You know, we want our children to be kind. We don't want them to start saying mean things to the kids they hang out with. But if we go around and we say mean things about the people at church, say, man, I couldn't believe he was dressed like that and wearing that pink suit that Matt Holcomb wore. you know, if we berate others in church, how can we not expect our kids to do the same thing? How can we expect the law of kindness to come out of their mouth? And again, there it is, another law that the mother has. The law of kindness. Out of her tongue, from her tongue comes the law of kindness. If we do not follow that ourselves, our kids will not either. They'll not have the law of kindness in their heart and in their tongue. And then openeth her mouth with wisdom. She knows when to speak. That's one of the things, of course, a kid does not realize often. Situational awareness of when to speak, what to speak. That's one of the signs of maturity is when they start curbing that, the instant speech. But a mother should be an example of that. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And then, of course, eateth not the bread of idleness. The book of Proverbs has much to say about slothfulness. But sometimes the kids will learn slothfulness at home. And if they're taught slothfulness at home by the example of their parents, you cannot expect them to be anything other than slothful when they get older. That's something you see more and more throughout in the world today. My parents definitely not slothful. I definitely have a little bit of tendency of laziness. But the thing is, when I was working at FedEx, I started to realize how different the world is from someone who was growing up in a Christian home. When my manager told me that I had a good work ethic because I showed up on time every day. I didn't call in sick. I'm like, that's not a good work ethic. That's like the bare minimum you should be doing. But the world today now thinks that's a good work ethic if a guy doesn't call in sick all the time. That's because I think a lot of that is learned at home. Because the mom, if she's working, she's like, oh, I don't feel like working today. I'm just going to call in sick. The dad, of course, does the same thing oftentimes. But we need to be the mothers. One of their responsibilities is to be a godly example for their children. And again, it doesn't matter how much you instruct your children in truth. If you do not follow it yourself, you're setting your kids up for failure. They will not follow your law. They'll follow your example. It must be a godly example for your children to follow. If you want them to have a right walk with God, it's critical that you give them an example to follow. Let's turn back to 2 John. Third point here in the mother's responsibility. Verse number 8, 2 John 8. It says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Third thing we see here that a mother should be is her responsibility is to be watchful. Mother needs to be watchful, to be wary of things coming into her home. We see that it says, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves, that you lose not those things. A mother needs to be very watchful of stuff coming into her home. Oftentimes, a mother can detect a disturbance in the flow of the home, in the unity of the home, before a father can, because she's there. She knows the kids. She can detect when something's wrong with a kid before the dad can. Again, the dad, all these responsibilities fall on the dad as well. I mean, he should instruct in truth. He should be a godly example. But here we see a specific passage of Scripture here in 2 John given to a lady, a mother. And he says to be watchful. When a mother does detect an influence coming into her home, she doesn't really know what it is, but she can detect a difference. Needs to be very diligent in searching out the cause of it. Saying, why is this why is this attitude of rebellion coming into my home? Why is this attitude of slothfulness coming into my home? Why is this bad attitude coming into my home? Is it from movies they're watching? Is it from kids they're hanging out with? Many, many possibilities. But a mother must be watchful. If she wants her kids to turn out right, she has to be careful of what is coming into her home. Let's turn over to Proverbs 29:15. Again, we're flipping between 2 John and Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. Says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Quite often a mother wants more for her children or has that desire more for her children to succeed, even more than a dad does, I think. She just wants her kids because that's what she's poured most of her life into. That's been her focus for most of her life. Whereas a dad, of course, having to provide for his family, he has to go out and work. His mother's with her children constantly. And so she desires for them to succeed. But it says that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Left to himself. That means the mother failed to be watchful. She wasn't careful of the things coming in. And it's interesting, that word left there, the child left to himself. It doesn't mean just avoided or ignored. It's actually the same word used as to send, or to send a messenger. It's purposeful. A child left to himself. Mother makes a conscious decision, I'm not going to interfere. I'm not going to watch over this child. And it will bring his mother to shame. It's a very purposeful word. Not just a casual, I just ignored him as he grew up. No, this is very purposeful. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. The mother was not being watchful of the things coming in to her home. She purposefully said, no, I'm not going to deal with that problem. I'm not going to deal with it. You know, children have to be corrected. And when you will consciously make a decision whether you will or will not correct them. And I'm not saying necessarily just spanking. I'm just saying correction in general. Whether to address the problem or not, saying this is not good for you. But if you say, you know what, it's not that big a deal. It's just a little thing. And of course, the little things grow into big things. As we have a very good example of babies growing into adults. You think we could keep that a little bit more in perspective when we're raising children, that how little things can grow into huge things. But a mother must be watchful. God has placed the mother in a specific position to be able to detect when influences are coming into the home and to take care of those problems. But a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. When the mother fails to be watchful, she will be the ones feeling the effects of it. will bring shame upon her. Upon her. All right, so that's the mother's responsibility. Now we're going to look at a mother's reward. Let's flip to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 3. 127, verse 3. After all that a mother puts up with, God says, you know what, I'm going to give her some consolation. I'm going to give her a little reward. So we see that Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. We see that children are a reward, both to mothers and to fathers. And some of you might think that with a reward like that, who needs chastisement? Some children aren't exactly too much of a reward. But the Bible does say that children are set up for a reward to both a mother and to a father. God makes it clear throughout His Word that a mother's love for her children is something that cannot be equaled. It's something set up completely different than any other love in the Bible. God compares His love, of course, for His children as a father loveth His children. But He also, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, verse number 13. When God compares the love for a mother to His love, I think that's a pretty good reward to have, saying, you know, as I love my children, this is how God loves His children. That's how God loves me. And to be able to, for God to be able to use that motherly love as an example, I think is a great illustration. But Isaiah 66, verse 13, says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. As one whom his mother comforteth. A mother's love. God says, you know what, there's nothing like it. Just as a mother will comfort her children, her reward, she wants that reward to grow up and to be great. Just as she will comfort that, God says, I'll comfort her, my children just like that. And of course, God also, Jesus Himself, when He was looking over Jerusalem, He says, how often would I have gathered you under my wings, basically as a hen would gather her chicks underneath her wings. He says, but you would not. But He's saying, look, I have this love for you that's comparable to a mother's love for her children. The children are the reward of a mother. A reward for her mother. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. Back to Proverbs 31. Verse number 28. Proverbs 31:28. It says, her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her mother, her husband also, and he praiseth her. It says, of course, speaking about the virtuous woman. But it doesn't say that the kids are virtuous necessarily or that they are righteous. But if you have a virtuous mother, you'll praise her. Doesn't really necessarily matter how good or bad the children are. The Bible just says that a virtuous woman will be praised by her children. Her children will call her blessed. And there are many, I've heard of instances of men that were definitely not good and definitely tended toward the wicked, but they still respected their mother. They still had that, they say, my mother was a good woman. They call her blessed. Mother's reward is her children. And jumping off that, righteous children are also a reward of a mother. If you, there in 2 John verse 4, we won't turn there, but it said that John rejoiced to hear of this lady's children walking in truth. To be found in truth, he said. And righteous children are a cause of rejoicing to a mother. And it's a great blessing to a mother when she sees her children walking in the way that she taught them. And say, you know what? I wasn't perfect, but they're walking in the way that I instructed them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A great blessing and encouragement to a mother. Let's flip back to Proverbs 23. Kind of a contrast to a child that was left to himself we see here. Proverbs 23, verse 24 and 25. Proverbs 23, 24 and 25. It says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee will rejoice. When your children turn out to be wise or righteous, as it says there in verse number 24, it'll make your father, your mother very happy. It says the mother will rejoice when her children turn out that way. It's a reward of her mother, reward of the mother to have righteous children. And I know some of you have children on your own. I'm thinking of my mom, of course, Mrs. Lowe, have children out on their own. And what a blessing, what a great truth it is. Say, you know what, they're serving God. They're walking in the way of truth. And of course, that can be said of many, many mothers here today. But they're a cause of rejoicing. It's a reward for a mother when her children turn out righteous. And you know what, that's a responsibility to us children. Do we want our mother to sorrow, or do we want her to rejoice? Sometimes that's dependent on how we act. If we want her, you know, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, the old saying. If you want your mother to rejoice, walk in the way of truth. She will rejoice, the Bible says. So we see that a mother's reward are children, and especially righteous children. And let's turn to Proverbs 31 again. Proverbs 31, verse number 30. Proverbs 31, verse 30. It says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A godly character, a good character, is a reward to a mother. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A godly woman, I know Pastor mentioned in this his series on the dress, a godly woman can have an impact that a godly man cannot. She can influence people through her actions, through her appearance, that a man can never influence, in a way that a man can never influence. It says here that a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Let's look up, jump a few verses up to verse 25. It says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. In time to come, talking about when she gets older. And she's going to look back on her life, and if she's been virtuous here, as it talks about in this chapter, she will rejoice. It'll be a source of joy to her, a reward. And it's interesting, that word rejoice there is the same word in Psalm chapter 2 when it talks about he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. That laugh and rejoice is the same word. It's basically to have someone in derision, to laugh over or against somebody. And when a virtuous woman has lived her life in a time to come, as it says there in verse number 25, she will rejoice over the obstacles that she's had to get over. She'll be able to rejoice over the obstacles and the mockers maybe that she encountered along her life. And say, man, what are you doing sitting at home raising your child? You're wasting your life. You know, get out, get a career, and make some money, and just go see the world. You're wasting your life sitting in your house. The Bible says when a virtuous woman gets older in time to come, that she'll be able to basically hold in derision. She'll be able to rejoice, to laugh over those who were against her. Because of a godly character, she was virtuous. She followed the right path. She raised her children the way that God wanted. We know there in 2 John that the elect lady that the letter was written to was a very godly lady. It had a great testimony in the church. Let's flip back there to 2 John. Second John, verse 1. It says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. This woman had a godly testimony. She was known for truth. And Paul, John here is saying, look, you know, I love you in the truth. And he says, and not me only, but all those that have known the truth, all those that are saved, would love this woman in the truth because of her testimony, her godly testimony that she had. A good character, a godly character, is a reward to a mother. If children are a reward, godly children, righteous children especially, are a reward. And then a godly character, to be able to go through life, especially in the world we live in today, and live the way and be the mother that God wants, that God requires, when you get to the end, you will look back and you say, you know what? You can rejoice. Say, God, I try to keep God's commandments to the best of my ability. And again, I find it interesting that word is the same as to have somebody in derision. To be able to mock somebody, basically. Mother's reward. We have a mother's responsibility and a mother's reward. Again, the importance of a mother cannot be stressed, overstressed enough. What she does, who she is something that no one else can be. A man cannot fill that role. It has to be a mother. And especially if you're looking at a godly mother, she must follow the godly principles. Mothers hold one of the crucial roles in a family. And because of that, in a nation. When the ancient Romans built their empire with the Republic, and then of course it ended up turning into an empire, when they were first getting started, and as they grew and grew stronger, the family was a very strong family unit. You had the patriarchal systems, basically, where you had the head of a family. The most famous of families would have been the Julii family, out of which Julius Caesar came from. But you had a patriarchal system set up. And as they grew, the empire, that was strong. But then when the family unit started to deteriorate, when now the emperor had more authority over people than the father did, than the patriarch of the family did, that was one of the things that led to the Rome's downfall, was the destruction of the family unit. Because, of course, that goes against God. When a country is following God's principles for a family, they're going to be blessed. Their society is going to be a strong one. But when they turn away from that, the blessings are not there. And, of course, the society will start to break down. When a mother shirks her biblical responsibilities, she loses her opportunity to rejoice, to have that great reward from her children and from her character. And of course, the country will go downhill because of that. Many, many great women in this church who have those rewards. They have a godly character. They have godly children. And they can rejoice in their life. Say, you know what? God's been good. God's been good to me. But you know what? As we close the message, and again, I think of the mother's responsibility and the reward that comes from that. But the first responsibility we looked at was you must be able to instruct in truth. But before you are able to instruct in truth, you must know the truth yourself. You must know this word yourself. And whether that be getting into the Bible or maybe actually receiving Christ as your Savior, you must be in the truth yourself before you can instruct in it. With every head bowed and every eye closed.